Now I want to turn your thoughts to the Word of God. And I want to read the 20th and 21st verses of Jude. Now that's the first chapter of Jude. It's the last chapter too. Jude just wrote one chapter, and this is the 20th and 21st verses of that chapter. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now Jude said a lot of things in this one chapter. Some of them bad, some of them good. But almost all of it down to this point is telling about people that fell away from their faith, apostatized, and that wandered away from God, lost the grace of God out of their hearts, and the judgments that fell on them. Now that isn't pleasant to think about. And when the judgments of God begin to fall, that isn't pleasant to behold. It reminds me of Brother Hepler. Some of you folks knew Brother Hepler here. He told about up in the Idaho country where he lived, there was a good saint sister, an aged saint. And she was ill and in frail health and advanced age, and her children were taking care of her. And he went to visit her. And he visited her at different times, and he observed the goings on there and the way those children were treating their mother, and he said it grieved his heart terribly to see how they treated their mother and how they neglected their mother and abused her and so on. And he went out and prayed about that. The Lord spoke to him and said, just open your eyes and behold the condemnation of the wicked. Well, he said, I did. But oh, he said, I don't want to ever see it again. Judgment fell on them children. God's judgment. He said, I don't want to ever see it again. Beholding the judgments of God isn't a pleasant thing. And Jude drew us out on several of those occasions. But now let us realize that all of these things that Jude wrote about and that happened to these folks, that can happen to you and me too, if we'll allow it. We're not immune from those kind of things. And if we get slack and careless and negligent in our experience and in our devotions and our service and our worship to God, those things can happen, and they not only can happen, they will happen to you and me. And when they happen, judgment will fall upon us, just like it did on these folks. But Jude ended up on an upbeat. And he begins at this point. He said, but ye, beloved. All these things happen to these other folks, but ye, beloved. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now the key around which all this revolves is the injunction to keep yourselves in the love of God. If you're in the love of God, you're blessed above all people. God wants you and me to appreciate the fact that He has shed forth His love abundantly upon us and within us. And that we are in the love of God. To set light by that idea is to bring ourselves to our destruction. We must appreciate that. We must value that and keep ourselves in the love of God at whatever cost. Whatever. Now, He never only told us to keep ourselves in the love of God, but He told us how to do it. There's a recipe set forth here through which we may be able to keep ourselves in the love of God. It involves three different prime elements. In this recipe, they are building, praying, looking. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And by this means, we shall be able to keep ourselves in the love of God and prevent those things from happening to us that happened to these other folks that Jude wrote about. Yes, Lord. Now, it happened to many of them, but we can keep it from happening to us by just building, praying, and looking. The first thing is building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, faith in this text does not refer to that action of the soul that reaches out and takes hold on the promises of God and brings them in and makes them effective in working in your behalf. Faith in this text refers to that cycle of truths that was given to us by Jesus Christ and perpetuated by His apostles and their successors, clear on down to the end of this dispensation of time, to the doctrines of God. Build yourself up in the doctrines of God, according to His truth. We are told in the second chapter of Ephesians in verse 20 that ye are building upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. We are not to suppose from that the apostles and the prophets are literal building stones and a literal foundation of a literal building, and Jesus Christ is a literal cornerstone in a building. We don't think that, do we? Well, then what it doesn't mean. Just what I've said, it means those truths, that doctrine of God that was delivered to us by Jesus Christ. Mark wrote about it in this way. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This doctrine of the gospel, this doctrine of salvation, this doctrine of holy living, this doctrine of the principles of divine truth upon which our faith is founded, building on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, their teachings. And Jesus, the chief cornerstone of the whole structure. He is the main one, the principal one, but it's his teachings that we build on. It's the doctrines that he delivered to us. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In the second chapter of Colossians, in verse, well, I want verse 6 and 7. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith. That's the way by which we become rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our relationship with him, and in our experience of salvation, is by being established in the faith as we have been taught. Sometimes I've heard people say, I'm not taking anything from man, I'm getting mine from God. But you never find folks that take that kind of an attitude that's very balanced in their experience of salvation. Amen. Or in living for God, able to live a consistent, successful Christian life in this world. That's not the way you get it. He said, as ye have been taught. God wants you and me to be teachable people. And that we can be taught in the doctrines of God's word and helped in building up ourselves in those doctrines. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Folks, let me tell you this. God wants you and me to appreciate the doctrines of God's word, the principles of truth, be thankful for them, appreciate them to the extent that we will walk in the light and measure up to the truth and value this truth that has been given unto us. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, text verses 10 through 15, to cover the whole thought there, he says, according to the grace of God given unto me, this is Paul writing, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now those who labor in the work of doctrine are laying foundations for us. But we're the ones that build thereon. Another buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be tried by fire, for the day will declare it. And now we have the idea of a building here, and different kinds of building material. And we can just go back to our Sunday school lesson this morning and the discussion we had in our Sunday school lesson this morning to see and get a picture of how folks fit into this, and how that some folks are building wood, hay, stubble. They're just in there, but they don't have on the wedding garment. They don't have the experience, and they're living shoddy lives, and they're not walking in the light. They're not measuring up to the truth, and they're not building on the true doctrine of God. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Every one of us can build like that if we will, but everyone doesn't. And he says, the day shall declare it, for every man's work shall be tried by fire of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss. All the great loss that's going to come upon many souls because they didn't build according to the rules, according to the code, the regulations. I've known of buildings being put up and they weren't inspected, and they didn't get a permit for them, nobody knew whether they were built according to code or not, but they just go out and give an order to demolish the building, just tear down the building. They don't know whether it's according to code or not. If we build according to code and build gold, silver, precious stones, build righteousness and truth into our experiences, that will stand the judgment fire, we'll receive a reward for our efforts. But if we fail to do this, and if we live shoddy, and we don't measure up to the truth, and we don't walk in the light, and don't maintain a good, right experience with God, all of our buildings going to be burned. And we'll suffer loss. All the effort that we put in, maybe we put in a lot of good effort, being good folks. You know, folks don't be just good folks without putting forth some effort. But maybe we've put forth a lot of effort just being good folks. But we did not build according to the pattern and according to code, and our building won't stand the judgment fires. It'll be burned. It'll come down around us in the day when we need it most. And we'll suffer loss. All that we've been doing out there will just prove lost to us. No reward. It's important how you build and what you build with. What kind of material you build with. Our building material is our words, thoughts, deeds, actions, attitudes, feelings, dispositions of heart toward one another. And all of those things, they're our building material. They're what's going into our Christian character. Or non-Christian character. However, those things are all our building material. And if they're not acceptable to God, they won't stand the judgment fire. talking about building now. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verse 15, he says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're talking about truth now. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It occurs to me that a man, to be a good builder, build a good house, he needs to understand the building business. And for you to build a good Christian character and solid, steadfast experience in your Christian life, you need to understand how to build and what to build with, and to be able to put things together in a proper manner, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many people have led themselves into their own destruction by taking certain parts of God's word out of context, making it read like it doesn't read, making it mean things it doesn't mean, applying it in a way it doesn't apply, and building their lives, their characters after that manner. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes, Lord.
One carpenter man told me that a man wanted him to come over to his place and build him a barn. He finally told the man, he'd been wanting him to come for quite a while, and he couldn't get over there, and he finally told the man, he said, all right, you get your material delivered on the ground, I'll be over there next week to build your barn. Well, next week came, and he went over there, and there was a pile of material there, but it was all roofing material. And he said to the man, he said, now let's see, what is it you want me to do here? You want me to build the roof of this barn and jack it up and then build the barn under it? Is that what you have in mind? Well, that man just didn't understand the building business. And he didn't know what come next in a building and what come first. And he just got what went on top rather than what come down underneath here to make the building. And it wouldn't work out. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we learn to rightly divide the word of truth and get things in their proper place and apply them in our lives where we need them and where they'll fit, and we can build them right in there, we're doing some good business there. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, verse 25, he said to the children of Israel, he said, if you will build me an altar of stones, thou shalt not build it of hewn stones. For if you lift up your tool upon it, you have polluted it. Now this text would fit in real well with the message we had this morning. Lift up your tool upon it. Your human understanding. Your human wisdom. Your human knowledge. We were admonished over and over in the lesson this morning, lean not to your own understanding. Don't be guided by your own understanding, by your own human reasonings. Now he said, build this altar of whole stones, for if you lift up your tool upon them, you've polluted them. Your human reasoning, your natural understanding, the wisdom of this world, theological learning, academic accomplishment, anything that's within the human, you lift up that upon us. These rocks of eternal truth, you polluted them. Anytime we get anything of the human mixed in with the principles of divine truth, we're erring. We're going off course. Build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Now, we offer our sacrifice. And our sacrifice is offered from our own hearts. Now, they had literal sacrifices, literal altars, but we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And our altar is Christ, and He lives in the hearts of all of His people. And it's upon Him that our sacrifice is offered. And our sacrifice is a spiritual sacrifice.
Yes,
offer up spiritual sacrifices, He said. By Him, by Christ, He's our altar. By Him, therefore, let us offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, even the calves of our lips, giving thanks to His name.
Yes.
Now, the altar is where we worship, and what we worship there, what we offer there, is our sacrifice. What He's telling us here is that we are to take these principles of truth, every one of them, just exactly like we find them. No shaping, no chiseling. Over the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, He wrote about this again, and He said, over which no man has lifted up any iron tool. No chiseling, no shaping, no compromising, and no exaggerating, no adding to, no taking away from, just the whole unadulterated truth and nothing but the truth. Take those principles of truth, build an altar out of them, worship God upon that altar. And in Deuteronomy it says, you'll rejoice and you'll eat there.
Yes.
You'll find something to eat there, and you'll find much rejoicing in worshiping God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
If we can just learn to do that and put all the human out of it, and human reasoning and human knowledge and everything out of it, and just worship God in the Spirit and in the truth upon the altar of Jesus Christ, we'll find a rejoicing and a joy, and we'll find something to eat there. Our souls will be fed when we're doing that. Folks, let me tell you, the way to feed your soul is just keep up on your Christian duties. You're praying, you're reading God's Word, your meditation in His Word, and following the instructions of His Word and living the truth in your lives. That's the way you can build up yourselves on your most holy faith. And let me say before I pass from this phase that building up yourselves on your most holy faith is more than memorizing the Scriptures. I knew a man said he in his younger days could quote half of the Old New Testaments from memory. He knew it. I listened to that man preach and he about convinced me that is the truth. He just preached solid sermons and doctrine and used lots of scriptures, just a whole string of scriptures, and never pick up a Bible. I heard him say he held revival meetings 2 and 3 weeks at a time and preached on every doctrinal subject in the Bible and used lots of scripture and never pick up a Bible. He just knew where they were and he'd just quote them. But he had a little problem living some of it. And he wasn't quite as humble as he should have been. He just had a little problem with some of the essence of scriptural truths and principles when it comes to living them. But now it isn't memorizing the scriptures and it isn't being able to give chapter and verse for this, that, and the other. And out doing and out arguing somebody. That isn't it. We have not built any, no matter how much scripture we know, no matter how much we can recite of God's word, we haven't built any until we actually open our hearts and receive those principles of truth into our hearts and make them a part of our lives. We're living them. Then you're building. And the more you take into your heart and the more you put in practice, the more you're building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now my text says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, and there's much more that could be said about that, but I don't have the time to say it. The next thing is praying in the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's important that we peruse the pages of God's Word, that we study God's Word, that we meditate on it, and above all, that we absorb it into our souls and receive it into our hearts and let it become the man of our counsel and direct our course and activities in life. And we live our lives according to God's Word. Then he said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, in verse 18, he says that above all, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and verse 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. Folks, that's the prayer that counts, is the prayer that's prayed in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost isn't just making a speech. It isn't just addressing the audience rather than God. When you get lost in your praying in the Holy Ghost, you're likely to forget there's anybody there but you. You're just praying and communicating with God. And there may be a house full of folks there if it's in a public service. But if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're not so concerned about being so grammatically correct and your words being flowery and sounding good to the people out there. You're just interested in getting your petition through to God. Amen. You don't care whether other folks hear you or not. You want God to hear you. And you're addressing God, not the people. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray with the Spirit and the understanding. We're told in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 26, that we know not what to pray for as we ought. God help us to accept that. Realize that. Somebody says, I know what I want. Well, it doesn't matter what I want. He said, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. But our wants shouldn't enter into our praying. He says, we know not what to pray for as we ought. If we're directed by our wants, we all know what we want, and we know what to pray for according to our wants. But let us take God's word, let us acknowledge that God's word is true, and that regardless of what we want or what we don't want, that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Human emotions enter into that. And affections, our affections for certain people and for their welfare enters into that. And different things may affect and guide our praying. But He still says we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit itself, praying in the Holy Ghost. Folks, if you haven't learned the art of praying in the Holy Ghost, learn it quickly. There's a secret of success in it. A secret of getting your prayers through to God and God hearing your petitions and answering your prayers. In 1 John the 5th chapter, in about verse 14, he said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven them. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking a lot of things in that passage of Scripture. But I'm thinking about a miraculous work of God here. And it involves more than God healing a headache or a bad cold or a drippy nose or a stomach ache or something of that kind. Here's a person down and down for the count. A sick man, a real sick man. Not just somebody feeling bad, but he's a real sick man. He's not able to get up and go. If they can get up and go, they'd as well go where the preacher is as to call the preacher to come where they are. But here's somebody that isn't able to do that. Somebody that's down and down for the count. It takes a miracle to get him out of there. He says, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Now that shows that it's a man that's down and wasn't expecting to be raised up. But the prayer of faith will bring him up.
Amen.
Yeah. A miraculous something wrought by the prayer of faith and the fervent, effectual prayer. There must be a fervency in our praying. And that'll help to make it effective when we get a real fervency in it. And begin to pray unto God with all the earnestness of our souls. That'll help to make it effective. There's so much that could be said at this point. But time's running out. We can't just go on one point. But just let me say what I said a while ago and urge you that if you haven't learned the secret of praying in the Holy Ghost, learn it quickly. Concentrate on that. That's the prayer that gets the answer. That's the prayer that gets through to God, the prayer that's prayed in the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
David says, my heart is inditing a petition. A prayer that comes right out of the heart with the booster power of the Holy Ghost in it, that's going to get to God. And it'll bring an answer. And then he said, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And folks, somebody said to me the other day, said, sometimes when things happen to me, I wonder how much farther. I just feel like I can't go on. I just feel like giving down and quitting. How much farther? Then, they said, they thought and concluded, it's not very much farther. Not very far to go. And they take a new hope. And go on.
Amen.
There's nothing quite so great an incentive to help you and me to keep ourselves in the love of God than just looking for the day of deliverance out there. Looking ahead to the day of God. The day of deliverance. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for eternal life. Folks, that's the bottom line. Eternal life. Brother Andy Wilson said in one of his messages here last summer, he said, folks, whatever else is involved, the bottom line is getting to heaven. That's the conclusion of the whole thing. And the bottom line is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And the day of deliverance, the day of judgment, whatever's involved, let us keep looking for the day of deliverance that lies just ahead. We don't know how far ahead. None of us do.
No, Lord.
Maybe it isn't all that far. Maybe just around the next corner. Maybe just over the next hill.
Yes, Lord.
Maybe from daylight till dark or from dark to daylight.
Yes, true,
the day of deliverance will break. We don't know. But just keep looking for that.
Yes,
keep that in mind. Be like the old colored boy was talking about in the prayer meeting, their testimony, scriptures that had meant the most to them and they'd gotten the most out of. And finally the old colored brother got up and he said, well, he said, the scripture that's meant the most to me and that I've gotten the greatest comfort out of was where Jesus said it came to pass. Well, they said, how'd you ever get so much out of that? What does that mean to you? Well, he said, I have my battles and my troubles and my trials and my aches and my pains and all. But says, When they come, I remember Jesus said it came to pass, and I said it came to pass, it never came to stay. It's going on. And folks, that's a good way to think. Just as that blessed that old black boy's soul, it'll bless mine and yours. If we'll just think that way and believe that way and trust God that way, it'll bring that blessing to our soul.
Yes, dear God.
It can mean a great deal to us. Looking for the mercy. Whatever's happening to you, just remember there's a day ahead, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, a day of deliverance,
amen,
a day of help, a day of comfort, a day of relief from those things that are plaguing us and distressing us in our lives. There's a day of deliverance. Maybe around the next curve or around the corner or over the next hill or when the next day dawns or whatever.
Yes, Lord.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever look away from that. Folks, don't get your heads down. You know what Jesus said in the 21st chapter of Luke? Maybe it's about verse 8. I don't remember just what verse it is. But he's telling those folks about the signs of Christ coming and the end of the world and what's going to be happening in this world and the different conditions that are going to be shaping up and so on. And he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads and look up.
Amen.
Folks, there's just one way to look sometimes. Paul said, we look not at the things that are seen. You get to looking around at the things that are happening in this world and the troubles and distresses, the threatening things and the uncertainties of the things that lie ahead and all of those things. They'll be real distressing to you sometimes. There's just one way to look and keep your good common sense, and that's right up.
Amen.
Jesus said, lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's nigh at hand. Your redemption is close. When you see these things begin to happen, and we have seen these things begin to happen quite a while, a few years back, and they're happening more and more in rapid succession, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're coming right down to the time, the day of deliverance. Peter says, you're looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Hasting on to it, looking for it, anticipating it, expecting it. It's a day of deliverance, and it's a day of salvation. Keep looking for that. Keep that in mind. One of our songs says, ever keep heaven in view. That's the bottom line, getting to heaven, Brother Eddie says. I agree with it. Whatever else is in the contract, the bottom line's getting to heaven.
Amen.
Brother Chandler used to often say to us when he was preaching, he'd stop and say, folks, heaven's where we started. And that's true. And we're on our way there, and let's keep our eyes set as a flint toward Zion and run for our life and never look back. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Building, praying, and looking. We look for the Savior, Paul said in the second chapter of Titus. We look for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's the hope in which we live. That's the hope in which we die. And thus, don't look at the things that are seen. Don't look at the things that are happening all around us. They're distressing. He said men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking on those things that are coming on the earth. We have lots of men's hearts failing them these days for looking on those things that are coming on the earth. Don't look at those things. Lift up your eyes when they're going on all around you and are so distressing that the people who are looking at them are driven to heart attacks and men's hearts failing them and their courage failing them and their faith going down and everything. Then he said, you look up. Don't look around, you look up. That's the only way to look when things are like they are now, is just look up. Lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And Paul says, nigh is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And I don't know how near it is, but I know it's nearer than it was yesterday.
Amen.
I know it's nearer now than it was this morning. And that we're looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. So let's just keep our minds there and our eyes on that. Not pay any attention to what's going on around us or how folks are treating us or what's happening to us. Just keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.